Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
All right, well, the Senate impeachment trial ended over the weekend. Seven Republicans in the end did join the Democrats voting for former President Trump's conviction in his second impeachment trial, but the Senate did fall 10 votes short of conviction. Joining us right now to take a look at what all this means is ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts. Good morning, Steve.
Hi, Paul. The outcome was significant looking forward for the Republican Party. Okay. Trump was exonerated, but for two reasons. One, you needed 67 votes, not a majority. That's an awfully high number, and it should be for such a drastic action. And secondly, an awful lot of Republicans took refuge in the argument that, well, because he's left office, we really don't have to deal with the facts of this case. But if you had had an anonymous vote, I bet you would have had at least double the number of Republicans voting to convict. In fact, you might have even had the 17 that would have been needed, because the disillusionment among a lot of conservatives, and I do not include Donald Trump as a conservative. I think what the events of the last month proved that he's far from a conservative, storming the Capitol, urging people to storm the Capitol, urging Mike Pence to overturn the results of a free and fair election that in Michigan and many other states had been audited over and over and over again. And so you had senators like Mitch McConnell, who voted to exonerate the president, but then made a speech blasting his behavior. You had a woman like Nikki Haley, you know, former governor of South Carolina, leading figure in the party, blasting the president. So that's where we are going forward.
I wonder, Steve, how many of the Republicans that voted for acquittal did so because they felt very strongly that this was an unconstitutional, in their words, trial, that you can't try in, you know, you can't impeach, have an impeachment trial for a former president.
I'm not in any way denigrating people's sincerity, Paul, but that was an easy out. I mean, then they never really had to confront the realities of what happened on January 6th. And to be fair, look, we've had so few impeachment trials in our history that the precedents are very thin. The case law is practically non-existent. And so both sides could make reasonable cases that, looking to history, their judgment was correct. After all, the case that the Democrats kept citing that justified prosecuting someone after he left office, that case dated to the 1870s. It's not as if you have any recent material. So it's certainly true that legal scholars could honestly differ on the law there. What I'm saying is that going forward, this was not just a legal proceeding, Paul. It was a political proceeding. We know that. And going forward, to have 57 senators vote for impeachment, in our own ABC poll, very striking similarities, 56% of American voters said they favored impeachment, almost the exact same number. That's a big burden for the Republican Party going forward. And when you are led and lashed to a political figure who a very clear majority of the American public does not think should be holding office.
And yet he's not going away. He's hinting at making a comeback in 2024, running for president yet again. And those that voted, by the way, with the Democrats, those Republicans that sided with Democrats, those seven, a lot of them are facing some pretty harsh criticism back home, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the Republican Party dilemma. You have a base of the party that is deeply loyal to Donald Trump, but they are not a majority, certainly not a majority of the country. And a growing number, as I say, you know, I think there are several splits in the Republican Party. One is the more obvious one of suburban moderates, a lot of them women, in a state like Michigan. You know, there were 8% of the people who voted for Donald Trump in 2016 voted for Biden in 2020. Well, that doesn't sound like a lot, Paul. 8%? That's a huge number. That's millions and millions of people switching. That was the difference in Michigan. That was the difference in Wisconsin. That was the difference in Pennsylvania. But also, you have in the Republican Party people who say, look, a real we're a conservative party. And emblematic of that whole notion was the role of Mike Pence on January 6th. And here's a deeply conservative former governor of Indiana, former House member, saying, look, the conservative position is that I'm going to uphold what the Constitution tells me to do, which is to certify the results that came from Michigan and all the other states. And you had President Trump urging him to overturn those results. Now, who was the conservative there, Paul? The conservative was not Donald Trump. The conservative was Mike Pence. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, that Democrats highlighted Pence's role so often in their defense, because that is one of the wedges that they want to drive in the Republican Party. They want to say, look, if you're a real conservative, you agree that Pence was a hero on January 6th and that President Trump was trashing him, you shouldn't be part of Trump's party because he has shown that he is not a true conservative. And that's a very important fault line in the Republican Party going forward.
We've seen divides in both parties before. In fact, let's face it, there's a divide in the Democratic Party as well. But I've never seen
huge,
one.
Huge, Paul.
Sure, but I've never seen one this deep and this consequential before.
Well, part of the reason is that Trump is such a dynamic, polarizing, incendiary figure, Paul. People either love him or hate him. There aren't too many people in the Republican Party who have kind of a neutral view.
That is true.
And that's why the fissure is so deep, because you have the Republican leader of the Senate getting up and excoriating his own former president in words that you would only hear from, you know, Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer, right? Mm-hmm. Saying you profound dereliction of duty. You have the number three Republican in the House of Representatives, Liz Cheney, saying the president, that this was one of the worst things any president has ever done, and that this was a moral breakdown where the president lit the fuse of the insurrection. So when you have that kind of language, and then as you point out, Paul, quite accurately and fairly, you have, at the same time, in a state like Louisiana, where Senator Cassidy voted to impeach the president, and immediately the state party passes a resolution censoring him.
Yeah.
You've seen it in Nebraska, where Senator Ben Sasse has been a critic. You see it in several other states, where anybody who dares to cross a line. And so just think about this, Paul. You've got the Republican leader of the Senate, the number three Republican in the House, both Trump in the harshest possible terms, and yet you've got these state parties censoring anybody who criticizes them. That is the perfect reflection of where the Republican Party is today.
Yeah, it is just fascinating, heartbreaking, a lot of different ways to look at it. Steve, always appreciate your insight. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Sure, Paul, anytime.
Take care.